It's mighty, mighty, mighty good stuff. Y'all don't understand. It ain't like this everywhere you go. I promise you, it's not like this everywhere you go. Why don't you take your Bibles tonight and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. And I'm going to do something I've been running from for a couple of weeks. And the Lord put this on my heart a few weeks ago. And I'll be honest with you, I was praying about a couple of individuals. And the Lord really, really put this scripture on my heart. I shy away from preaching a message like I'm fixing to. Probably may not be any real preach to it tonight, but it'll be real serious. I don't want to be labeled as somebody who tries to talk people out of their salvation just to get you saved again so we can say we had so many saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? Y'all know me better than that. That's not me. There's a term. I know I have several friends, and that's what they do. They constantly preach their church lost. I don't do that. I just recently heard a preacher say that he believed that 75% of his church was lost. And my thought was, you're not doing a very good job. I do not believe 75% of our congregation is lost. I don't believe that. I believe there's a great percentage of our congregation that has not grown in the Lord like they should. Amen. I believe there's some spiritual anorexics around here. But then there could be some who are truly not born again. And I know this is going to sound like a Sunday morning message, but it's not. This is for our church. One of the worst things that could happen to us is that the rapture take place and one of you be missing. Amen. I made a profession of faith when I was 6 years old. I've told you a million times I went to the altar on a dare. And during a revival meeting, Brother Ed Ballou was preaching, and Brother Larry Day knelt on one side, and Brother Kenneth Corrin on the other, and Mama knelt behind me, and Brother Larry told me to say this, and Brother Kenneth told me to say that, and I said what they said, and Mama shouted, and they gave me a New Testament with my name in front of it, and they baptized me, and I was a member of the church. And I rode that for a long time, till I was 19 years old, and I realized for the first time in my life I was lost and on my way to hell. Let me say again carefully, I'm not here to cast doubt on your profession of faith. But I want you to revisit that place tonight. And I want you to examine yourself and find out if what you've got is real. And I believe with all my heart, if what you have is real, it'll manifest itself somewhere in your life. Amen. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 13 and stay there. We're going to go right across the page to Galatians chapter number 1, excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to look at verse number 5. Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now I want you to notice these next three words. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self, how that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates? Now look up here just a minute, and we're going to look at some more scriptures. He said, examine yourself. You know what that means, don't you? It means to check yourself out. It means to check yourself out. Do you know the person you'll lie to quicker than anybody else? Yourself. Yourself. You'll tell yourself you're okay, you're okay, you're all right, you're okay. The Holy Spirit will deal with your heart, and you'll say that's for somebody else, it wasn't for me. But tonight, I want you to examine yourself. Listen, I don't doubt my salvation for a second, but I'm doing myself what I'm asking you to do tonight. I'm revisiting my salvation when I got saved 26 years ago up that pine tree in Brother Jay's front yard. I'm going back there tonight myself. I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not. Have you ever had a day when you didn't feel saved? If you've been saved very long and you said no, you just lied or you're not saved. Amen. And every time I have that doubt, somebody said, have you ever really doubted your salvation only for a minute? I've never went through a long period of time where I doubted my salvation.
The reason for this message tonight is that just recently I have dealt with several people in our church who made that statement, "Pray for me, I'm doubting my salvation." There's a lot of things I doubt in my life. I doubt myself. I doubt my ability. I doubt my knowledge. I doubt my wisdom. I doubt some of the advice I give people. People walk out of my office and I say, "Why'd I tell them that?" But I don't doubt my salvation. That thing is that real to me. I can go there right now in my mind, and it's like it happened yesterday, though it was 26 years ago. Being saved is the greatest thing that ever happened in your life. The greatest thing. You remember birthdays better than you remember when you got saved. And I want you to revisit that tonight. And listen, it's no shame. If you're not saved, I want you to pile up on this altar and get it settled tonight. If you're just, I believe we've had people in the church who, in our church, who said they got saved. I believe with all my heart they were saved already. They just got so far away from God and was just cold and hard, and the Lord dealt with their heart again. It was just like getting saved all over. They didn't. They just got right. But I'm not going to argue with them. If you said you got saved, you got it settled. I don't care. Do y'all understand that? Somebody said you baptized her one time before. Well, I'll do it again. Amen. And I don't believe you can get saved over and over and over and over and over again. You know better than that. I don't. But I believe you ought to have a time and a place in your life that is settled, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that that's the day you got saved. Amen. Would y'all agree? I mean, the devil will beat you up. I remember when I first got called to preach, and the Lord was dealing with me about preaching, and I'd say, okay, Lord, I'm just about ready to surrender to that, and then the devil would enter in. He'd say, "How can you preach? You're not even saved." And it never fails. I would carry him back to Miss Marvine and Brother Jay's front yard, and he'd leave me alone. If you can carry the devil back to where you got saved and he keeps on bothering you, I don't know. But I'm asking you to examine yourselves tonight whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. If I were to take this microphone and walk around this room, I guarantee you 99% of the people in this room would tell me you're saved. Prove it. Not to me. Not to this crowd. He said, prove it to your own self. Can you sit there and truly, without a shadow of a doubt, and being honest in your heart, convince yourself that you are a child of God? This ain't camp meeting kind of stuff, but buddy, God's been after me about this, and I don't know who it's for. Don't say, boy, you're picking on me. If that's the way you're feeling, you need to listen to this real good. Because I promise you, I honest before God, don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe three or four. I don't know. But I can name you several people. Brother Terry is here tonight. His wife is out, must not be feeling good. I remember the night when we were singing, "I Know My Name Is There." Their little boy said, "Mama, why don't you have your hand up?" She said, "Because I don't know." And she came to the altar and got saved. Man, there ain't no shame in that. Amen. So tonight, just for a few minutes, and I won't be long, but I want us to do that. I want us to check ourselves out, not each other. I cannot look at you and tell you whether or not you're saved. I can look at you and tell you whether or not you're right with God. Amen. That shows in your face, man. Now, your countenance gives that off. I can tell where you are spiritually, but I can't tell whether you're a child of God or not. God didn't give me that ability, but you know, and God knows. Deep down in your heart, you know. The Lord started stirring my heart about this a couple of weeks ago when I was trying to answer some questions and help some people and gave them some scriptures and that kind of thing. And then I went to that church this week and I saw those 10 people get saved, and four or five of them had made a profession of faith somewhere down the road. Do I doubt they got saved? Not one bit. They got in Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. No doubt in my mind. You say, well, this message is not for me. It's for me. Brother, my favorite thing in the world to revisit is the day I got saved. Amen. I promise you don't think about it enough. I don't care if you've been saved 20 or 30 years. You don't think about the day the Lord saved you enough. Amen. That's why you just sit here like a knot on a log and nothing affects you anymore. Man, you've gotten over it. Amen. Maybe I can carry you back there tonight and it'll get sweet to you again. It'll get real to you again. Amen. Why don't you look at Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. And we're just going to go down through some scriptures here. Paul was worried about these folks. And he wrote this letter to them trying to help them in certain areas of their lives. But I want you to look, first of all, tonight. We're going to bounce around here a little bit. Let's see. Verse number 13. Now, I want you to watch what Paul said about himself. He's talking to these people at the church of Galatia, and he says, "For ye have heard of my," say it, "conversation in times," say the next word, "past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." Now, you know, here's what he's saying. You've heard of my past, and you see what I am now. In other words, the first evidence that you are truly saved is that there has been a dramatic change in your life. People don't preach that anymore, but it's still true. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17 still says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Now listen, when I quote that verse of Scripture, you're automatically thinking about how you're dressed and your outward appearance. That's not what I'm talking about. I grew up thinking that's what that verse meant. If you're really saved, you've got the right haircut. If you're really saved, you talk the right talk and you walk the right walk. That ain't what that's talking about. Amen. That takes time. That takes time, and we don't push you in that direction. We want to watch God develop himself in you and it be real, not a set of rules I tied around your neck. That's why a lot of people don't make it in the church. They get saved and can't live up to the church's expectation. Are y'all okay? This is talking about something in your heart. That was the biggest reason I knew I got saved. I got saved in Marvin's yard on a Friday night. Sunday morning, I walked in church. Y'all have heard this 1,000 times, but you fixed to hear it again. I walked in church where I'd sat on that right-hand side about 3/4 of the way back all my life. And I looked to the front of that church to people that, since I was old enough to figure things out, that I despised and called hypocrites. I'd come to church and sit and sneer at them because I couldn't stand them because I'd seen them outside the church. Any of y'all like that? Oh, how dare he stand up and testify? What's the matter? One sinner can't hear another sinner? The Lord taught me real quick, people aren't perfect. People have character flaws. We put them up a little bit too high on a pedestal, and we base our Christianity upon what they are. Y'all okay? Somebody said, "Well, these hypocrites down at the church." Well, how about yourself? How about yourself? I guarantee you, if I wanted to point something out, I could find something and say, "Oh, you can't really be saved. You wouldn't say that word." Come on. Come on, the change is what's down in here. Listen now, listen to me very, 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 very carefully. When I got saved, I still cussed. That's the hardest thing I ever overcame in my life. Boy, y'all got quiet. Y'all doubting my salvation now, aren't you? I've heard it said 1,000 times, when I got saved, my cusser quit. Buddy, mine didn't. Mine kind of waned off. Man, I had to get a new vocabulary. Y'all listening? I'd cuss at work and somebody say, "Oh, I thought you got religion." Thank God I got more than religion. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And you too. The change I'm talking about is in here. Now I want you to examine yourself right here. From the point you say you got saved, was your heart different? I sat down in that pew that Sunday morning. I'll never forget it. It was like it was yesterday. My little wife grew up in this church, in Happy Valley Baptist Church. That matter of fact, that was a fight when we got saved. Where are we going to church? I thought I won. I sat down there in the pew and I poked my wife and I said, "Boy, there's old so-and-so. He is so good to me when I was a little boy. What happened to he's a hypocrite? What happened to if he's a Christian, the woods are full of them?" God changed my heart. That was the first evidence that I knew something was really happening to me. That there had been, I knew I was saved as soon as I repented and asked God to come into my heart. But that was the first evidence that God gave me that I knew I was His. My heart had changed toward people. And if God really moved in your heart, I don't care how much scripture you got, how much discipleship classes you got, your heart will change toward people. That little lady at the well, but she was living wicked, man. She went running back to town and said, come see a man. Something changed in her heart. Her outlook, her attitude had changed. Now, I know people who've said they've got saved, but nothing changed about them. They're still as bitter and still as angry and still as mean and still as ornery as they ever was. Now, I'm not pointing fingers. Now, I'm just saying. Examine yourself. Do you ever remember a change in your heart where something just overwhelmingly came over you and you loved people like you never have? John said, these things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. One of the first reasons you'll know you have eternal life is you love each other. Amen? I think that's a legitimate question, don't you? Has there been a change? Paul said, you remember what I was? Now see what I am. That's what Paul said. Now, it sounds like he's boasting, but he's not. He's just making a factual statement. When Paul first got saved, the Christians were afraid of him. Remember? They were scared of him. They were afraid, oh, gosh, he's coming to kill us too. They said, nah, don't worry about it. Something happened to that old boy. Something happened to that old boy. He ain't what he used to be. Amen. Amen. You know, it took me a while to convince some of my friends that I was saved. Some of my friends that come around. But after a while, one by one, I could start naming them off to you. Some of them come to our church now that say, it ain't real. And I didn't preach to them. I didn't preach at them. I still loved them. And one by one, they'd say, boy, I guess you got the goods, didn't you? Wasn't nothing I did. They were just watching me. Something was different. You go home and tell your family members you got saved and you're still as full of hell and meanness as you was before you got saved. You expect your family to follow suit? I believe it'll make a husband love his wife. I believe it'll make a wife love her husband. I believe it'll make children obey their parents. Y'all okay? It's just something that's in there, man. I can't explain it. It's the Holy Spirit of God is what it is. Amen? And when you get saved, your spirit begins to bear witness with other people who are truly saved. And you can't help but love them. Are we okay? That wasn't something that came along gradually. That was immediate. Get your mind off all this outward stuff. That outward stuff is a reflection of what's on the inside. If it's real, I don't have to tell you. We had a man in our church came here and got saved. He's not here tonight, and I'm still not going to say his name. But he came in this morning. I almost didn't know who he was. I said, man, I like not to know you. He said, man, the Lord dealt with me. I had to get cleaned up. Y'all okay? I didn't tell him to cut his hair. I don't have to. If I have to, it ain't right. Amen. I'm going to preach the truth, but if I got to go to somebody and say, bless God, you better get a haircut. You ain't right with God. I don't do that. Well, I just preach the gospel and let the Lord do His work. Amen. The first evidence that you are truly born again is that there has been a change in your heart. We're still waiting on the outward part. We're still waiting. I've been real patient, but it's wearing thin. Amen. We're still waiting on the outward part, but I'm asking you tonight, I don't know your heart. But we have scripture that God does. Man looketh on the outward part, but God looketh on the heart. Do you ever ask the Lord, Lord, if what I got ain't real, would you show me? Come on. Brother, I do. Brother, I listened to a fired up sermon on dying and going to hell. I said, Lord, let's make sure. Even though I don't doubt my salvation. It doesn't hurt you to examine yourself. When you examine yourself, you figure out where you are spiritually with God. If you are saved, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. I hope while I'm staying on this point long enough for you to sit right there in your seat and prove to yourself whether or not you're saved. What do you do when you doubt your salvation? What do you do? Can I give you a couple of hints? If the devil sends doubt your way and you're truly saved, you want me to tell you how to beat it? Go back in your mind. Go back in your mind to where you got saved. Revisit that spot. Read some scriptures. If that doesn't give you the assurance that you need, you might ought to get born again. I know that's pretty blunt. And I told you I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation, but I want you to know. Amen. I want my church to know whether or not they die. I'm not preaching 75% of my church is lost. I'm after maybe that one that's not sure. You get that thing settled tonight. Secondly, I believe will be evidenced in your heart. Look at Galatians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Verse number 6. Watch what Paul said. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Listen, first, your salvation is evidenced by a change in your heart. Secondly, your salvation is evidenced by some conviction in your heart. Y'all okay? Man, there's some things you're just not going to... Paul said, what is up? He said, I can't believe, man, you ain't no sooner got saved than these people done got you sideways. Y'all okay? Even if you couldn't take the scripture and explain it, a Jehovah's Witness shouldn't be able to come to the door and mess you up. A Mormon shouldn't be able to ride a bicycle up in your yard and mess you up on your salvation. A Pentecostal shouldn't be able to talk you into believing you're going to lose what you got. There ought to be some conviction about you. Listen to me. There ought to be some conviction about you. When I got saved, there was a change in my heart, but there was some little convictions that God just set in place. Not what the preacher said. I'm talking about what was in here. There was something inside me that said, you ought to be at church Sunday night. There was something inside me that said, you ought to be. There was something inside me that wanted to be. My mother's sitting right there, and she'll testify to the fact. She's whipped me out of bed 100 times plus. I'm talking about Sunday morning, jerk the sheets back, lay the belt to your legs. That's how adamant my mama was about going to church on Sunday. Y'all listening? When I got saved, I'd pull the covers up, and I'd fight with her over the covers. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Man, now, I'm still not a morning person, but I want to go. I want to go. There's something inside me. Listen, we all have them days where we've had a bad day, we give out and we're tired, and we feel like if we went, we'd just be a hindrance. Come on, talk to me. But I'm talking about the majority of the time, if you're truly born again, something inside you has a desire to be here where God's people are being fed. Do you have to make yourself go every time? Is it every time you make yourself go, and as soon as you get here, you wonder when we're going to be out? Let me tell you something. My flesh likes to eat. I know I don't look like it, but I like to eat. And I enjoy good food. And when I go to Jigger, Louisiana, the family I stay with, they've been to our church a couple times, the people can cook. Wednesday night after church, he knows I won't eat before church. That's a crime because I can't eat but a little bit. I got back to the house. You know what he had? Shrimp Creole. I'm fitting to cut this message short. My flesh is screaming. Man, that stuff was good. Oh, I ate it and I ate it and I ate it. The next night, pork chops on the grill with chipotle raspberry sauce. The next night, gumbo, filet gumbo. You got Brother Warren knows where I'm coming from right there. He was born and raised in Louisiana. I don't deny this flesh from eating. My flesh has a desire to be fed. If there's a spiritual inner man, he has that same desire. If he's really in there, now I'm not saying if you don't have a desire to come to church all the time, you're not saved. I'm just saying that's a good checkpoint. You can get so worldly and still be saved, you are not getting nothing from church. Because you haven't developed a taste for spiritual things. But man, when I got saved, it was like an automatic thing. I wanted to go. There was something inside me that wanted to be there. There was something that nudged me throughout the day on Wednesday. Hey man, you need to hurry up and get this stuff done so you can knock off and get down to church house. I'd stand on the church steps and stomp the mud out of my boots for 30 minutes so I could walk in and sit down. Then I got those days where I was backslid. Oh, I'm too dirty. I shouldn't go to church. I've been digging ditches all day. Brother, when I first got saved, I did not care. They say something like a little bird with its mouth hanging open. I wanted to be fed. When you get saved, there ought to be a change in your heart, and there ought to be some conviction about you. I remember first time I heard the Lord's name in vain after I got saved. Boy, I used to say it every other breath. I remember being on a job and somebody saying, blankety, blankety, blankety. I thought, oh, man, I can't believe I used that. That don't sound good. I'm telling you, there's some things that are natural to a Christian. Some things have to be developed, but some things are automatic. Are we doing okay tonight? I promise you this is God's will for this service. I promise you. I would rather not do that. I would rather click my heels and preach glory. Amen? This is what God said do. What are you convicted about? Is there any conviction about you? Huh? How easily are you swayed? There was something inside me, Brother Freddie. I never was taught that the King James Bible was the only Bible. It's the only one I ever heard preached. But I didn't know there was an issue. When I got saved, I didn't know there was a Bible version issue. I didn't know that. I didn't know a Greek lexicon from a comic book. I didn't know the Textus Receptus and the Vaticanus. I didn't know all that stuff. Didn't have a clue. Somebody said, which version of the Bible you read? I meant the Holy One. I'm being honest. I was that simple. Which version of the Bible do you like? I said, the Holy Bible. No, I mean, which version? Do you like the New King James, the New American Standard? I thought, wow, well, man, what are y'all talking about? But, you know, I began to examine that thing, Brother Freddie. I did not have a single one of Dr. Ruttman's books. Not one. I didn't have one book that explained the text. I didn't have one book of textual criticism or anything like that. All I had was this book. And I said, God, if there's a Bible that's better than this one, would you show me? And there was something inside my heart. The Lord said, son, don't worry about it. You got the right thing. That thing was settled before I ever knew it was an issue. I knew that was God's word. Amen. Was you like that, Brother Freddie? Brother Freddie didn't even grow up in church. There's something about that Bible, man. All of a sudden, it came alive. Brother Jay and Miss Marvin used to make us memorize. I mean, chunks of it. I went to Victory, too. I mean, I had more of that Bible than me than you can shake a stick at. Didn't understand a lick of it. And I got saved. Wow. I didn't know that was in there. Are you listening? Didn't have a clue about that. Listen, when you say you got saved, did something change inside your heart? Listen, I don't want to mess up the children tonight. When a kid gets saved, there's a whole lot less change in their life than it is when an adult gets saved. Do you understand that? When a child gets saved, people used to testify about when they got saved and what a great change in their life, and it'd scare Ashley to death. She's the one who went to school. She went to public school in the first grade and got off the bus crying because the kids was making fun of her because she didn't know who Michael Jackson was. I mean, she was pretty sheltered, amen? And thank God. Well, these kids, man, when they get saved, it's not as big a change as it is when an adult gets saved. You understand that? Number one, are you a changed Christian? Did something change in your heart? Has God begun to give you some convictions? Paul was shocked that these people were so easily moved. Paul was amazed that these people were so easily moved. Here's what I think Paul was saying in essence, and I'm not changing the scriptures. He's saying, I got the same thing you say you got. And if you got what you say you got, and if you got what I got, you wouldn't let this shake you up like that. Amen? Y'all okay? I can't believe some stuff that shakes some of y'all up. Some of the stuff that blows you out of the water. I wouldn't leave the place where God saved me and begin to bless my life because somebody said something about my back for $1 million. I told y'all the other day, man, I hadn't been saved 2 months, and our church went through a major split, not Happy Valley, White Oak. Major split. People were standing up on this side of the church screaming at people on this side of the church. Half the church stood up and walked out. Here I am, a baby Christian, looking at my wife going, this was the second blow. It wasn't no time after we got saved. The pastor called all the men into the junior church. Out of the blue. I thought, what's going on? I looked at one of the deacons, Brother Junior Beard. And I said, Brother Junior, what's going on? He said, I don't know. I figured he's on that, they meet in that secret room back there. They all, you know, he probably got the scoop. What's happening? We walked into the junior church and our pastor walked up in the pulpit of the junior church. He said, that's it. I thought, what's it? He said, we'll be packing our stuff and moving tomorrow. What just happened? I just got saved. My pastor just quit. He didn't even give a reason. I'm standing there looking at these godly men, and I'm going, and they're going, he walked out the door. I've been saved 2 months. First thing the devil says, you need to get out of here. You need to get out of here. And the Holy Spirit said, set still. Set still. Set still. Set still. Then John Robertson came. He was our pastor. That's when the church split. Little did I know, little did I know who Earl Partain was. I had no idea. Never heard of him in all my life. But I grew under his preaching. And I got what I needed to be your preacher. Amen. I marvel at how easily some of you are moved. I'm not doubting your salvation. I'm asking you to get it settled tonight. Amen. Can I give you another one tonight? I want you to look at verse number 16. I said, if you're truly saved, there's a change in your heart. There's some conviction in your heart. Now watch this, verse number 16. I believe there'll be some courage in your heart. Some courage in your heart. I lost where I was going. I still can't find it. I'm looking at 116, but it ain't saying what I want it to. That ain't it, brother. Brother Freddie, what I'm looking for is, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Yeah, there it is. How did I get 16 out of that? For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I like this next word, this next verse. He said, but I, say that word with me. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Listen, I said, number one, if you're truly saved, I believe there'll be a change in your heart. I believe there'll be some conviction in your heart, but I believe there'll also be some courage in your heart. I believe God puts, the Bible said the righteous in Proverbs are bold as a lion. Amen. I believe God will have you stand up for what's right. Amen. I believe if you're really saved, you'll get to a place you don't care what people think. You don't care what people think when you bow your head and pray in a restaurant. It don't bother you no more. I remember before I got saved, my mother, I don't know where she went, she embarrassed the fool out of me. Anybody's mama embarrass you when you was a kid? I'm talking about we'd go to a restaurant and eat, she'd pray out loud. Can you believe it? How ridiculous is that, man? People in a restaurant going, because I didn't close my eyes, I was looking around. She's crazy. No, I didn't do that. I knew better. That's why I still have all my original teeth. I remember going on that bus route every Saturday and my mama witnessing the teenagers. There were some big kids that rode the bus with me. I mean, they were teenagers, and I was in elementary school. And my mama told them they was going to hell. Oh, I got to get on a bus with them dudes tomorrow. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Boy, and I look back on that. I remember when I got saved. I said, Lord, give me what you gave my mama. Lord, let me get on one of them buses and be a blessing and a help. There'll be some courage. First of all, there'll be courage to tell your family. I worry about people who say they got saved and they won't tell nobody. Romans chapter 9 and 10. Amen. Out of the mouth, confession is made. If you got saved, you'll be wanting to tell somebody about it. I don't believe we'll have to ask you to. Amen. I love it when I get them phone calls at home. Some of these kids around here, they get saved at home. First thing they want to do is call and tell Brother Eddie. I like that, and you ought to let them. Amen. I said you ought to let them. Used to when we went to camp every year, and them kids would get saved at camp, first thing they would do, they'd line them up in front of that payphone. We'd go get $5 worth of quarters, man, standing there putting them quarters in and letting them call home, tell Mom and Daddy I got saved. Amen. Who have you told lately? Who knows your testimony other than you? It's a good question, isn't it? I told you it wouldn't be real preachy, but it's real serious. How serious is it? Well, it's heaven and hell serious. It's eternally secure serious. Who have you told lately? If you've never shared your salvation experience, I doubt you have it. I didn't say you don't. I said I doubt it. How can you keep something that great so quiet? Again, the little lady at the well. Man, she forgot what she even came for. She left the water pot and lit out. She didn't have no discipleship class. Well, brother, you just don't understand. I'm bashful. Who gives a rip? Does anybody know your testimony? I've been working up to it. One of these days, we're going to pull this down. I'm going to take his microphone. I'm going to go to every individual in this place. Let you tell us publicly when you got saved. I'd make some of you nervous if I started right now. Seriously, I'd like to know. There's many of you. If somebody asked me, "Is old brother, you think old brother so-and-so saved?" Well, I think he is, but I ain't never heard about it. Amen. I believe there'll be some courage in a true born-again believer. There's a backbone that you only get from the Holy Spirit of God. You know why that is? Because there's something inside of you that's bigger than you. There's something inside you that you didn't have before. Amen. I'm not talking about guts. It don't take guts to be a good Christian. It takes the Holy Spirit to be a good Christian. I know brave people that are lost. I'm not talking about braveness. I'm not talking about bashfulness or shyness or whether you're very boisterous. That has nothing to do with the fact. I don't care. I was as loud mouth as anybody ever was. Amen. I got saved. Boy, the devil have you dry up. Amen. Amen. We still doing okay? Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter number 2. I said, number one, I believe a Christian will be, there'll be a change. Maybe not so much one I can see, but one you can feel and one that you know about. We okay? It may be a while before I see a big difference. It may be a while before I see the Lord begin to work in your life and watch the change take. And that's one of my favorite things of being a pastor, is just sitting in this place and watching you week after week after week after week and watch you turn into what God's trying to make you. Man, if you got saved on Sunday and came back in here on Sunday night super-duper Christian, I'm worried about you. And it's a process. Amen. Caroline was just born 5 months ago. Man, if she popped up on this platform tonight and said, "Hey, Papa, how you doing?" I mean, I'd be freaked out, man. If she came driving up in the parking lot, you know, that ain't normal. Some people progress faster than others. Amen. But there ought to be some growing there somewhere. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, didn't I? Is that what I said? In verse number 20,
I believe he'll be a changed Christian. I believe he'll be a Christian with some conviction. I believe he'll be a Christian with some courage. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, I believe he'll be a Christian who is crucified. Paul said in chapter 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Has there been some crucifixion in your life? Let me ask you a question. When you got saved, did you go back to that place? I hope you've been there all night. Do you feel like there's something about you that died? Do you honestly felt like you left something at that altar? An old you? That's what Paul's talking about. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. What is he saying? That sounds confusing. Crucifixion means death, right? He said, there's a part of me that went to Calvary and died. But yet there's a part of me in the flesh that is alive. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. That old hateful, bitter Eddie White died that night under that pine tree. I was crucified with Christ, yet I live. Now, we can take that verse and tie it in with a verse where Paul said, I die daily. In other words, he had to do that over and over again, crucify that flesh. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved over and over. But he said, I'm crucified with flesh. In other words, the old man's dead. I'm risen to walk in newness of life. An old Eddie White melted down under that tree. A brand new one got up and walked away. Amen? Has there been a crucifixion where you feel like a part of you literally died? And not a good part. Not like you lost something. But that you gained something. We don't base our salvation on a feeling, but that is the feeling that makes you feel so good when you get saved, is that old man is crucified right there at Calvary. That old sinner that's on his way to hell is dead. And the life you now live, you live by faith in the Son of God. Is this making sense? I hope I'm not shooting over somebody's head, but it's pretty simple. When you got saved, did somebody die? When I got saved, somebody died. Now, it took a long time for God to knock the rough edges off and get the kinks out, and he's still got a few knots he's trying to work out of me. Yeah. But I'm telling you, man, there's a different man got up than what went down. I remember the night when I was 6 years old. Am I going too long? I remember the night when I was 6 years old, and Roger Bush dared me to go to the altar, and I went. And I remembered I prayed what they told me to pray, Brother Freddie. I said it verbatim. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. Dear Jesus, come into my heart, come into my heart. Do y'all understand where I'm going? Hey, I'm not faulting them. They did exactly what they thought was best to do. They couldn't tell whether or not my heart was sincere or not. But I got up and went back to my seat, same little boy. I couldn't figure out why Mama was crying. I didn't have a clue. I was the same person I was when I went down there. But the reason, if you'd have asked me that night, matter of fact, they did. Brother Kenneth said, now, if you died right now, where would you go? I knew the end. Heaven. If you'd have asked me that 10 minutes before, I told you the same thing. Are you understanding that? I'd have told you the exact same thing. I was just a kid, man. I'm not saying a six-year-old can't get saved. They do, and they will. And it'd be legitimate. Now, I'm not trying to tell you if you got saved when you was a kid, it ain't real. I'm just telling you mine wasn't. You okay? I went back to that pew, the same person I was. I went back to that pew and laughed with my buddy, and he said, I can't believe you did it. And I said, I can't either. You know, that kind of thing. That wasn't for real. But that night I got out of my mama's car and knocked on Brother Jay's door. I got back in that car different than I was when I got out. That's right. That's right. I can't explain it to you, but I know it. Amen. I believe a saved Christian is a crucified Christian. Watch this one. I believe a saved Christian is a consistent Christian. I believe God will put some consistency in your life. Amen. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. The Bible said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I'll be honest with you, this one thing I'm thankful for tonight. Over these past 20-some-odd years, we've been consistent. We've been consistent in our doctrine. We've been consistent in our church attendance. It's nothing. It's not me. It's because we got saved. Amen. We've been consistent in our conviction. Are you listening? I believe there's some consistency about Christians. I worry about these people who are on this bandwagon today, this bandwagon tomorrow. Y'all with me? Boy, I like them people who are consistent. Them people who get it and stick to it and don't turn away of it. Are you examining yourself tonight? If you're not, I'm wasting my breath. Amen? I believe he's consistent. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. I believe there'll be some consecration in a true Christian's life. Do you understand what that means? Set aside. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Watch this. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy. And y'all listen to me carefully. I don't have to tell you you're to love each other. I don't have to tell you. Listen, I believe teenage pregnancy is wrong. I believe premarital sex is wrong. I believe it's a sin. But I do not have to look at our teenagers and tell you that. If you're saved, you know it. How many of you know when you're doing wrong? Amen. I don't have to go down there to the adultery clinic and get me a big old sign and walk around and call them women cold-blooded murderers. They know they are. Especially if one of them happens to be saved. You okay? There's a part of us that wants to be set apart for the things of God. Amen? When we're saved. Did you know before I got saved, I wanted to do right to please her? But after I got saved, and the more I tried, the more I messed up. But after I got saved, there was a desire in my heart to be better. Not to please the preacher, not to please my wife, but to please God. Amen. Is there a desire in your heart to do better? I'm not talking about to get your wife back, to get your husband back. I'm not talking about to impress somebody down at the church house, but is there a desire in your heart to be better, a better person? Because you want to please God. I believe that's a sign of salvation. I really do. Man, I remember going back on that construction site the Monday after I got saved on Friday. Actually, we were off on Monday. It's Tuesday. I remember walking back up on that job site. I remember praying in that truck all the way to work, saying, "God, how can I go in here and tell these boys I got saved and keep doing the stuff I've been doing? Lord, I want to do right. Help me, God, to do better. Help me to do." There was a desire in there. There was a true desire in my heart to do better. Amen? And I believe if you're truly saved, there's a desire to do better. Amen? Okay. Let me wrap it up. Galatians chapter number 6. I said number 1. I believe if you're truly born again, there's change in your heart. There's some conviction in your heart. There's some courage in your heart. There's a crucifixion about you. Part of you died. There's some consistency about you. There's some consecration. In other words, you want to live for God. Now listen, lastly, I believe there's a part of you that wants to communicate what you got to somebody else. Amen? Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 6. Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the word, watch this, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You know what that word communicate means? The evangelicals like to use this word, share. Share. To him that is taught. Man, they ought to be a part of you that wants somebody else to know. I remember when I got saved, Brother Freddie, my prayer life consisted of this. God save Timmy. God save Keith. Started praying for my buddies. Man, I just wanted them to have what I had. I wanted him to have what I had. I remember getting in the truck to go coon hunting. And my buddy Keith looked at me and said, so now we got to be all religious? I said, no, man, I just got saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell. He said, well, you going to preach to us all night? I said, no, man. I said, but I sure don't want you to go to hell. Man, there was a part of me that wanted them to have what I had. And when you get saved, there's going to be a part of you that wants. Listen, when that little boy walked to that altar on Wednesday night and got saved, I watched it. Man, it was like a chain reaction. He went back to that pew and started crying on his daddy's shoulder. What, daddy couldn't handle that? Daddy come fell in that altar and got saved. Well, little sister couldn't handle that. And mama went home with him that night and had to listen to all that. She couldn't handle that, so she come back the next night and she got saved too. Amen. Them three little old sisters that got saved had about 14 of their family in church the next night. Amen. I believe you get saved, you'll want somebody else in too. You won't want to keep something that good all to yourself. But let a man examine himself, whether he be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Again, I'm not trying to talk somebody out of their salvation. But if you're not saved, or if what you got is not truly real, won't you get that settled tonight? Don't be a lost church member. Get that thing hammered down, nailed down solid before you leave this room tonight. Brother Todd, y'all come. Or you come. Is Bibba still back there? No, Brother Todd, whatever you got on your heart, son. Now listen, we're just going to give a Sunday morning type invitation. Let's bow our heads all over the house. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there's one here tonight. Say, preacher, that was my message. I've been struggling with whether or not I'm really saved. Pray the Lord would help me get that settled right here tonight. Just slip up your hand. Come on. God bless your heart. Thank you. How about it? Did you do what I asked you to do tonight? Did you examine your heart? Did you do it? Are you satisfied with what you found? Knowing what you've heard tonight, are you going to sleep okay? Are you 100% settled in your heart? If you died right now, heaven would be your home. If you're that sure, if you're as sure as I'm sure, raise your hand. No doubt whatsoever. Preacher, I know I'm saved. Thank you. If you couldn't raise your hand, I wouldn't walk out of that door for $1 million. I wouldn't die and go to hell for nothing. I'm scared of what people think. I don't care. I don't care. I got up in a New Year's Eve party in front of my friends crying, tears running down my face. I reached to the point where hell, it was more important than anything. I'm not going to go to hell because of what they might think. Yeah, but I profess to be this and I profess to be that. My son was 19 years old, went off to Bible college. Called me one Friday and said, Daddy, I just got saved. Okay.
I didn't go, now you got saved. No, I didn't do that.
I said, praise the Lord, son. Praise the Lord. He hadn't went back since. Thank God. He got a place he didn't care. I bet the devil sat there in his lap and said, what are you going to tell your dad? What are you going to say to your youth group back home? What are you going to tell your church? He didn't care. If it was that important to him, if that's that important to you, you won't care either. Now, we're just going to leave our heads bowed, leave our eyes closed. If you raised your hand or whether you didn't, Brother Todd's going to sing a verse. By the time you move out of that pew, I'm going to have somebody standing in this altar waiting on you. Go ahead, Brother Todd, sing. Come on. Get it nailed down tonight.